To laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads who bring their unique blend of wit, wisdom, and nerdiness to the airwaves. From sharing hilarious anecdotes about their own experiences to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life, these two dads have got you covered. But that's not all. They're also obsessed with all things nerdy, from comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games. So whether you're a fellow dad, a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, this is Wise and Nerdy. And now, let's have some fun.
True Dorman. Kurt is, he's Scandinavian. It might as well be. He only shows up to America when he accidentally crash lands here.
Yeah.
Dead baby turtle. Kurt, he's in even. No, he's not in the intro. True story. I thought Kurt didn't want to be on the show anymore. He disappeared for like 2 months. Like, no, man, no. And then all you guys here. Yeah, Grumpy Dad is back. All you kiddos here in the room are like, oh, Kurt. Okay. Look, I'm going to disappear for 2 months too, and you won't give a crap. That's what I'm saying. Dads matter too.
A true rock god isn't concerned about that.
don't you try to play me. Oh, you do it. Oh, my God. And Random Kid says, Grumpy Charles is the best Charles. Ass becoming the only Charles right now, kind of across the board. Just crank pants Charlie, man. I don't know. I got a busy weekend, but we'll get to that here coming up in a minute. Joe, thank you for getting everything set up. Ready to go. You got a haircut.
Yes, it was time. I should have cut my hair a long time ago.
I appreciate you. You more than you can know right now, dude. More than you can know. Because as it was coming out of my mouth, I realized the T-ball level rubber ball that if you sneeze on it, it goes out of the park. Yeah, see there. You had that home run teed up. I'm like, and you didn't swing and do the stupid dad joke. And I bless your heart with all that I can right now.
There's time.
So a rock guy would know that we know he'd be back. He ain't gone out to get milk or a pack of smokes. I will go get some milk smokes, and you see me if I come back. Some
milk smokes.
Milk smokes.
No, from Lucky Strike, milk smokes.
It's the question of the week.
If you were guaranteed to be successful in a different profession, what would you want to do?
Stay at home, mom. Let somebody pay my bills. Kurt's not laughing. I don't know why.
Look, at least you recognize it's a profession.
Well, I don't know. That was the first thing I thought of. I thought, like, let somebody pay my bills. And Charles wants to be a lady daddy. It is a dream. Who brought this question? Who brought this question tonight?
I mean, I put it in there, but I don't know who put it in our question bank. I would assume it was you, Charles.
Right, to be fair.
Slow,
but you got there, and I appreciate you both.
I don't even know what that's from, to be honest.
Letterkenny, come on.
Okay.
No, it's not for you, Joe, but at least you get when we're doing a call and response, okay? We got you, buddy. We appreciate that. But to be honest, I went and found, like, stop it, Kurt. I went and found like 150 like icebreaker / first date questions and just copied and pasted them to give us some seed questions, right? So that's what the list is from. So it was in that. I said, Joe, what is your answer?
I would definitely be a full-time content creator. And I know that I could try it and I could probably eke out a living, but you know, I have a very, very stable job with benefits that I can't give up that stability when I've got to make sure that I'm taking care of my family, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. You know, we all get a little scared sometimes in life, Joe, and it's okay. You've got the Council of Dads here to tell you how wrong you are and that you should get your butt out there and make more content. But we respect you. Kurt, what is yours?
So the easy answer is voiceover. However, the actual answer is I would be a music teacher.
Okay. All right.
That was my destiny when I was in high school, and I ran out of cash. So I ended up being a computer guy. But yeah, guaranteed to be successful, music teacher.
So no, when you say you ran out of cash, does that mean you didn't get a degree so you can teach?
Oh yeah. No, I went to college for one semester and said, I can't afford to do this. And my parents made too much money, but didn't have any. And I could not secure a loan on my own. So I did not finish college. And I fell into my computer profession accidentally 6 months later.
Okay. It does seem like you could start a YouTube series where you're teaching music. I mean, I get, in my opinion, schools are stupid. Not because it's stupid to go there, but because they're like, oh, you have to have us. No, there's certain things where you become a professor emeritus, which I happen to know one as my personal friend. And she is a professor solely because she's Grammar Girl. And yeah. Grammar Girl killed it in the podcasting world and made a name for herself. And now she teaches, I think, at Colorado University's last time I heard.
Right. And really, to be honest, I get the music teacher thing that I find rewarding. I get that out of coaching musical groups in the area. And so I get that aspect of things. But I really wanted to teach students in a classroom setting because of how I was affected by an amazing music teacher when I was in high school, to the point where he was in my wedding party. He really affected my life in a very positive way and encouraged me to believe that I could be successful in something. And so, knowing the impact that he had on me, I always feel like I owe it to other people to pay that forward. And so that was my way, at least when I was in high school, that was my way of doing that. And okay. Ironically, my wife got a music degree and didn't use it. So
that's what it does. Does it ever chap your butt a little bit? It's like, I could have used that.
It did early on, but then I know what she went through in college with her primary professor, and I don't blame her. So, and it's hard. It's hard out there as any kind of a teacher, but music teacher, try finding a job. Really difficult.
Well, especially because more and more places are cutting their music programs.
Nowadays, there's a lot of music teachers that travel to multiple schools within the same school district for their job versus just one school.
They just need to make a Mr. Holland's Opus 2, and then everybody will be on board again and do all that. You guys think more literal in your life, which is cool, and that's interesting. But you're talking about guaranteed to be successful. I want to be a startup tech startup that just keeps starting tech. I just want to keep starting tech businesses and sell them for billions of dollars. That's what I would love to do. It's like, oh, cool. Here's an idea. Build it a year later. Adobe buys it. Cool. Next. The startup idea another guy. One. More or less. Okay. Yeah.
So that actually brings up my follow-up question, which I'm glad you went down that road. Do you define success as financial success?
To a point, yeah. Because I mean, it kind of is the heart of what we were talking about is, you know, Joe, you talked about content creation, which is very real for you. Kurt, you talked about the teaching thing, which is very real for you. I would like to make my living doing what I love. So part of my success is that people want me to come do what I love doing. And in that vein, they pay me to do it. So, I mean, this is just a fantastical question. Like, I'm guaranteed to be successful. Well, yeah, let me go do something that can make billions because that can still go change the world, which is what I want to do. What about you guys? I can argue, I think hopefully everybody can argue that I'm successful at being a digital media creator to an extent. You know, I'm not the biggest known name out there, but I feel like I influence lives and change lives with what I do. And it's getting bigger every day. But what about you two? I mean, do you feel like that money would be part of your success or the definition of your success?
Yeah, because now I'm trying to think of all the cheaty different things that I could do. Like, guaranteed success is such a loaded phrase. Like, I will be a cancer researcher because then I'm guaranteed success, right? Guaranteed to succeed in creating a cure for cancer.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because that's part of the reason why the music teacher thing for me is what I would choose, because to me, guaranteed success means that I am impacting the students that are, you know, that I teach, I'm guaranteed to impact them in a positive manner. So, to my mind, though, what that means is if I'm successful at doing that, I remain employed.
Sure. Which
right.
And is the flip side of getting paid to do what you love.
Right. And I don't have to stop teaching, you know, to make a living, because that's not guaranteed success. Right. There is a financial aspect of it. But for me, and maybe it's because I'm old now, but for me, it is way more about, can I have the maximum positive impact on the people that would be learning from me?
I hear you.
And that would mean success.
I hear you. Random Kid says I would choose being Mr. Universe. Dead Baby Turtle said Mech Warrior Building Company. Then Random Kid, and this one is a little bit. There you go. Change the statement. Random Kid first said President of the U.S. Then again, I'd probably do better than some of the people who've had the position. I'm like, no, President of the U.S. is not where you want. You want to make a difference. Then you change it. You got to be the leader of the world. You got to be the dictator. I don't need all the U.S. politics and crap. That's one of the biggest problems. Let me run the world for a little bit with guaranteed success. We got you, man.
I think you have to, before you take that, like if it's a wish thing where you have one wish and it's guaranteed success, you have to absolutely define the terms of that success. Because you could argue that the last 50 presidents have, or not 50, but the last 40 presidents, 46, 47 presidents 52, have been, whatever it is, have been successful. You can make that argument, but defined by what terms?
Well, you know, Abraham Lincoln was definitely successful just sitting there and taking it.
But his wife went crazy.
She didn't go crazy. If you read she started crazy.
She was, right? Yeah. But
which is probably actual mental disorder mixed with diseases, but yeah.
I mean, he was such a good vampire hunter, so.
So there is a question here that was from Random Kid, is when are we going to get a sample of Kurt singing? So Kurt, I went and got a sample so that you wouldn't have to do it live on the air. This is Kurt's early work. Back in like the early 2000s.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
So I can't play anymore or Kurt's County will sue us for copyright infringement.
Right, right. Yep, my stage name originally was Tay Zonde,
man. He was the epitome of confidence. Let me just tell you. And honestly, everybody kind of made fun of us. Like, oh, but it's not bad. To be real, it's not bad.
The video was much more difficult to watch.
Yeah, that's true.
He was very uncomfortable to watch. But yeah, no, he's got a pretty good voice.
Oh, roll that dice.
That is not my voice.
But, you know, to be fair, he showed up more than you did.
Personal story time.
You sound so sad. You sound so sad. We did personal story time.
I only read it the way I was directed.
Daddy can't tell me a story.
There were words. It was, hey, just say something about personal story time.
Personal story time.
See?
See? He doesn't sound much better. speaking with a girl voice.
Do you all, smell but, you toast, know. Kurt? Do you smell toast?
No.
Then
when I cook it,
Mike Woodard is doing good just to say English words. All right, I don't hear it.
I didn't realize that's where you were going,
Joe.
Yes,
when you were a kid, you tell the story about being in Philadelphia and all these other places, mm-hmm. and walking uphill barefoot both ways, and even when the school canceled, Grandpa NASCAR rest his soul, he made you go to school, and apparently he made you camp out in a snow berm. We had that story a couple weeks ago. But what horribleness did your father make you do in a hurricane?
So it wasn't my father's doing. He actually said Kelsey. I could stay home.
Gotcha.
No. So I had a teacher.
Is this a good Kelsey week? Am I her friend this week or am I her not her friend this week?
it varies day by day, depending on which episode she's listening to. There was a hurricane, which I think it technically had just barely dropped down to a tropical storm by the time it hit us. But we knew it was coming. And one of my teachers had assigned a project that was due that day, like it was a Friday. And he told us that anyone who did not show up to school with their project would get a zero.
Even with a hurricane.
Yep.
This is where, as a parent, you go, yeah, screw that school.
And so it was worth a pretty significant part of our grade. And so I was like, I can't afford a zero. So got on the school bus, went to school, did my project.
How many other kids showed up? Like most of the school, half the school, less than half.
In that class, I think we had about three people absent. As far as the school in general, I think we were missing about a third of the people.
So a lot of people had parents like, well, the school said show up.
Yep. And so getting to school was fine. The flooding hadn't started yet. But we got early dismissal because the area started flooding so bad. And so trying to get home, I took the school bus. The school bus couldn't even drop me off at my school. They had to let me off about a mile from my school because of flooding. So then I had to walk back to my house in the flooding.
Both ways, barefoot.
It was only one way, and it was slightly uphill. It wasn't very much of a grade. but it felt like I was swimming. The water was almost up to my knees, and so trudging through the water, and my I technically had an umbrella, which I had it open, but it very quickly inverted on me and bent all kinds of out of shape and was trashed by the end.
Hurricane winds.
Yeah. Yep. And so I ended up getting home sopping wet and noticed that my brother wasn't home yet. So then I had to go back out into all of this to go to his elementary school, which ironically I had to go back the exact same way that I had just traversed, because his school was like, it was in that direction where the bus had dropped me off. So yeah, I was very, very, very wet to my
mind. How did I know there's going to be a both ways aspect to this story?
You there you go. It was, but it was slightly downhill the other way. If it had been a little bit deeper, I would have tried swimming down it. But
oh boy,
where were your parents?
At work.
That's right. We're 90s kids. We handled our business,
But and then to add salt to the wound, come Monday, the teacher didn't even give the people zeros that missed.
So oh, no. Home. As a parent, I'd have been, oh, hell to the no. Yeah.
No, I get it. But it's just like, can we get a bonus for trudging in the rain the whole time?
How old were you?
In middle school.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have been as mouthy then. High school, nah, I would have said, oh, no, screw these guys. They get zeros. I showed up and they didn't. I mean, I would have gotten thrown out of school in high school. In middle school, I'd probably be like, good jokes.
Nowadays, the parents would not stand for that.
Yeah. Well, okay. Nowadays, parents just don't understand. But Dead Baby Turtle says, a flood. My family had to live in a creek in a hailstorm.
And with all of the animal life trying to kill you down in Australia.
Live in the creek. Don't you mean a van down by the river? Because that's the real quote. I'm not sure where DBT is going here.
Oh, he was being literal.
Like Monty Python, I failed. Kurt, you got any crazy, horrible I showed up stories?
No. I lived through the blizzard of 78. We stayed home like normal people. And literally, if there was a hurricane and the teacher said, go to school and turn in your project or you get a zero, my parents would have said, I guess you'll have to make it up then.
Yeah,
I'll take the zero.
I was homeschooled most of my life. So you get up and watch the TV news and it's doing the school closings. And I was just jealous of kids at that point going, I'm homeschooled. It doesn't matter what the weather does. I have to do school. And I get to see that they're out for snow days for a week and I'm still having to do my Spanish lessons and crap. I was determined. I was never made to do anything in a weird situation like that I can think of. But I was always a hustler. And trying to get money. And when I was 18, 19, somewhere in there, maybe 20-ish, I got a job with the local newspaper. It's a bigger city. It's a big paper. And it's, you know, in my car, not on a bike, but delivering the Sunday papers. And I went to the interview and all that jazz, and they told me how it worked and so on and so forth. And then I had to show up at a certain time so I could ride with somebody and they can kind of show me the route and show me how you figure things out, which is, just, I'm sorry, I don't know how to do this. Paper out, paper, box. But yeah, they wanted me to third ride with somebody. So I showed up.
Pop it. And it was twist it.
There you go. And it was pouring down rain. It wasn't hurricanes or anything, but it was like you couldn't see hardly in front of you. I sat out in that parking lot in my car for like 8 hours, from like 10 p.m. to finally at like 3 a.m., I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm out of here. And I was just, there's no internet, no phones. I'm like reading a book or so. I don't know what I was doing, just waiting for them to say, hey, come on in. And at some point, somebody opened the door on the dock, and I kind of saw it, but I'm looking at my car's all lit up, not inside, but you know, outside. And I'm parked kind of where you're not supposed to, but I didn't know where to park. Should have been obvious. Hey, let's go check this car. They didn't. So they just assumed I didn't show up. So like the next day when I called them, I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, oh, well, somebody said you didn't show up. I'm like, no, I sat out there for like 8 hours. I finally left at 3 a.m. I should have left like an hour into it. And yeah, it was just dumb. And I made some money at that and it was just dumb. I don't like it. Like 50 degrees Celsius outside. I'm still doing schoolwork. Is that hot or cold? I don't know which way.
That's really hot. Degrees freedom, freedom units.
Freedom units.
So, I will say, because I live in the Northeast, right? We have snow up here. I will say they cancel school at the drop of a hat now.
So does the South. We have one blizzard.
That's because you guys don't have trucks.
No, there's a lot of factors.
Pickup trucks are one thing.
We have stupid people, Kurt, because they were told, hey, a storm was coming. And the city was like, yeah. And then the storm started coming in. And people were like, meh, it's Georgia. And everybody's like, no, baby, this is a real storm. You need to go home. And people stayed at work. Finally, when the snow's coming down and sticking to the roads. Now, I specify that because in the South, that's how you measure snow. You don't measure in inches. You measure is it sticking to the road because people are on it and it's heated. And once it started sticking to this road, that's when everybody in Atlanta wanted to leave instead of just stay put or find a hotel room. And then it hit. And then there's, oh my God, I'm just sleeping in my car on the side of I-20. No, you didn't, moron. You could have just stayed where the hell. So yeah, now it's like, oh, they're talking about it's going to be 35 degrees and it might rain. Everybody stay home. We're going to put salt out. I'm like, it doesn't freeze at 35. You're killing me.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, it really, like, it had to be bad. Like a blizzard to not go to school.
Is that your real advice, Joe? Just drive like a grandma with a full pot of chili in the car, headed to a Sunday brunch. You'll be fine.
Yep.
right.
Just go slow, slow and careful.
Yep.
Yeah. And momentum matters, not hitting those brakes as much.
Yeah, that's why you go slow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I do love. I did see a TikTok recently where a four-wheel drive was like stuck in a ditch spinning its wheels. This little Prius or tiny little car just kind of slowly went around them and kept going. It's like, yeah, four-wheel drive doesn't mean you get traction, dummy. You know, and they drive it like, oh, it's a tank. Anyway, I'm cranky. Did I mention I'm like Cranky Kong? Joseph, you're Donkey Kong. Kurt, you're Banjo Kazooie.
So, hey, because Segways are for kids. I know the guy that invented Bop It.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, I worked with him. Yeah. So, fun fact. Moving on.
You know what? I was about to make a joke that doesn't work for this show. So, we're going to
roll that dice.
Let daddy decide.
All right. I don't want to do bad dad jokes. I've decided. Next.
I do.
Which is, how do I?
All right, Kurt.
How do I live without you?
I'm glad you're back, Kurt. How do I get into voiceover work? Because obviously Joe didn't think I was going to make it to the show, and he's just buttering up the next permanent host that he thinks you're going to save him.
Right.
I'll deal with you at home, son. Don't worry about it, Joe. You just don't worry about it. I'll deal with you at home.
Love you too, Charles.
So this is actually pretty straightforward. The advice that I give everybody and that they don't want to hear is get training. That's the very first thing that you should do to get into voiceover work. You should find a good voiceover coach, study with them until you are ready, and they will help you determine that, but until you are ready to produce a voiceover demo.
So first off, I like random kids tip. Number one tip, have a sexy voice. Now here's the paranoia in me, Kurt.
Yes.
Is okay. The professional in me is like, I get it. Mentorship, training, refining. The paranoid in me goes, but I keep having to pay them as long as I don't go get a job. So are they going to keep telling me I'm not ready when I could go out?
So I'm with you. Cause I had that same paranoia. One, references and referrals are everything, right? Sure. Don't go in blind. Get references. Talk to them. Find out if they are actually still producing voiceovers on their own as a side hustle, or not a side hustle, a primary way of them making money versus teaching being a primary way of them making money, because that makes a difference. Find out who else they've worked with. And then do a little research. And you'll find that there are people who are pretty well known who will do coaching. And when you talk to other coaches or other professionals about the people that you are considering, they usually will know who they are.
And nowadays, Google is a thing.
Google is a huge thing, right?
And social media, too.
Right. And so you got to do a little legwork and a little research. Do not try to produce a demo on your own, because what happens is it's usually going to stink on ice. And when you submit that demo to people, they remember who you are.
Yeah, I got you. Now, Casey, stink on ice is when things get really, really cold, and yet it still smells. I know you don't understand that in Australia, but I thought I'd explain it to you. Kurt, we got a question for you here. Do you need a good voice, or is it just how you use it?
It really is way more about how you use it, because everybody has a need for different types of voices. I can play, if I had to, a dozen different voiceovers from a dozen different people of all walks of life and all pitches in their voices. They don't all have to be movie guy, right?
Which I do want to ask you about him in a minute, but yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing is nowadays they want people to do voiceovers way more conversationally, right? So honestly, I was born in the wrong era to do voiceover, because I could have made a killing in the 60s through the 80s by being announcer guy.
Yeah.
Because that was the style, but now it's not. It's just now, you have to be conversational.
Now it's like, hey, Joe, you remember when you have that not so fresh feeling every once in a while, buddy? You know.
But just because somebody says, hey, you know, you got a great voice, it means jack.
Yeah.
You know, I still have a regular day job. But I hear once a week, oh, I could listen to you read the phone book. Great. Good. Pay me.
Whose grandmas are you visiting? Because kids these days don't even know what a phone book is.
Well, the people who have money do.
Random kid says, I have money and I know what it is only because I grew up poor. Anyway, if I wanted to do voiceover work, would learning accents be beneficial or is it offensive?
Maybe.
to which part?
I know where he's going. It depends on how
it really depends. It really depends. Because then you need to start defining what are accents. Like, I have a kind of a neutral American accent voice. If I had to lean into my New England side a bit, I could, but that's not really even how I grew up talking. But then you go, well, people want something that sounds more heavy metal or more rock when you're doing an announcement, because I do a lot of Spotify ads. And so I'm going, well, what does that mean?
That's my face. I was like, what is that? Okay, what does that mean
right,
to you?
Right. And sometimes it's like, and now at the Charles Theater, the next Tin Lizzy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like going, I guess that sounds rock. I don't know. But that's an accent.
Sunday.
Yeah, but that's an accent. It's just, but you're probably talking about either regional or even ethnic accents based on where, you know, in other countries even. It's hard. Right. It's hard. I will say that more people are wanting people from those areas to authentically do those voiceovers. I've gotten a couple of voiceovers for rap artists, and it was clear they wanted somebody with a more urban voice than I have.
Okay.
And I've turned it down. I've just going, I'm not the right guy for this. I don't know what to tell you. Like, thank you for sending it to me, but I'm not the right guy. I can't. I can't sound anything but stupid doing this.
I want
to
hear an announcer guy of like, this Friday, Jay-Z is going to be at the all night club, lighting it up.
Yeah. Dude, I've done stuff like that. It's crazy. But what's even more crazy is I've had Spotify ads where I have to say that I'm the artist and listen to my new song.
That's weird.
It's completely weird.
That is,
it's like, dumb. And I've gotten more than a couple.
That's interesting.
It makes me think of, have you ever watched the Dragon Prince?
It was on Netflix, right?
Yeah. So one of the main characters there has a Scottish accent, and there were a lot of fans who were saying, your Scottish accent is horrible. It comes and goes, and they should really get someone who's a native from Scotland, blah, blah, blah. And they said all that without actually knowing that the actress is Scottish.
Yeah.
And it's like when people actually talk, like my wife, it depends on who she's been talking to lately, but we've got one of our neighbors is from Canada. And every now and again, I hear a little bit of a boot coming from my wife or every now and again, a little bit more of the Southern drawl will come into our vernacular. And it's just people have blended accents in general. Like it comes and goes in normal life. Why wouldn't it come and go in voiceover work?
When you play around with accents, one of the weirdest things is how close a British accent is to a Southern American accent.
I've heard that many times.
It just, like, I've tried doing a British accent and I end up falling into a drawl, and it's the weirdest thing.
The difference is kind of the cutoff. They don't finish the words.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, it's just, you know, and with cartoons, it's even weirder because you can be a bit of a caricature. Right. So, but it depends on what it is. So it's very situational.
If I can hear it for a while, I can do impressions, which is not the right thing. It's not the same thing of certain tones. Like, I don't know if either one of you ever met Brian Dunaway, but he and I hung out a lot at Dragon Con. And so the last year he was there, I started introducing him as himself. Yeah, I can't do it. Now, I haven't heard his voice in a while, but I could do his speech patterns and everything. And he's like, man, you're just creeping me out. It's like, you're welcome. But I enjoy when I'm talking to somebody, and it doesn't matter where they're from in the country or out of the country. You know, I'm in Georgia and I talk to people and they're like, man, you're not from here, are you? And I'm like, no, I spent most of my life here, but when I moved here, I was six, and everybody in South Georgia and everybody talked like that and spread it. And like, I just worked hard to, I thought it sounded stupid. And I thought, and honestly, the people I dealt with, some of them pretty damn stupid. So I made sure that I did work. But if I get really tired or I get talking really fast, that's where that southern part comes out. It slurs a bit and mumbles a bit. And my wife is the worst. When she gets tired and she adds syllables to words, she's like, I need to get some water. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? What is it you'd like to drink, my love? She's like, shut up. Go get me a glass. So the movie guy, what was his name again?
Don LaFontaine.
Yes. Now, there, a reason I'm asking, I'm going to spell it wrong, but Google will fix it. When he passed away, it was early in the days of podcasting, and they being the community of voiceover actors, made a voiceover website in his honor that doesn't look like it's up and running, maybe. I'm trying to search it.
It might not be.
So good because you could go in for free and ask them, hey, will you do an intro to my podcast? Will you read it in this way? You know, I was doing bear crawling, so I'm like, look, I'm looking for, my tagline is Metal Attitude Meets Talk Radio. I need somebody to kind of give that edge and that aggressive energy. And you'll get three or four people bid for it more or less and do it. And I imagine it's probably done for free for a while. And I imagine as digital media picked up, either it got bought out and became a pay site somewhere, or it just faded, because at a certain point in this world, you are paying homage to a hero, a presumably of yours, if you're in the voice of the world. But there's only so much honor you want to pay to them for free. Right. But it was a really cool community.
Yeah, ironically, I believe that movie trailers changed a lot after he died, because nobody wanted to try to do what he did because he was so good at it.
Yeah,
like, you don't hear the "in a world." You don't hear any of those things anymore.
I was about to reference that one because that was his thing.
You're more likely to hear three guys on a wacky trip. And one finds love, the others find.
Well, you know what was funny is he was the movie trailer guy, and that was, everybody references that, but that was him. In a world where, but nowadays trailers aren't even like that. It just comes in with tones and some dialogue from the movie, and you don't really have announcers doing those things.
Right. There was a comedian who would do that, and it was hilarious because he'd just be going, "One world." No, not one world. It's just the world. One man, and he just there's it's starring a woman in a time that he didn't create. It's like, what are you even talking about? And the comedian would just like go on this whole movie trailer type thing, and just have basically himself arguing with the movie trailer guy. This makes no sense. Like, why are you talking like this? But the movie trailer thing now. If there are any voiceovers for it, because you'll often hear either narration by one of the actors in the scene that they're doing, or it's just background music, and then they go right into a scene from the movie. You know, that kind of thing. It's very, you might get a coming March 15th. you might get that.
Yeah.
But yeah. But there's so much, so many different voiceover things that you can do. It's more than you would think.
I was looking to see if there's any other questions. I do. It's funny how you envision what somebody looks like from a voice. I just speak the way I speak. Now I am influenced by, like I said, I grew up poor. I grew up in neighborhoods that, you know, we shortened the term hoods. I've not been in projects. I've never lived in a project, which is a different thing, but I've definitely lived in, I've lived around different ethnicities and cultures and accents. And so there are definitely things I pick up that I like that I use naturally. And Joe and I, the first year we did Pokemon Go at Dragon Con, somebody who listened to the show that came there live and saw us, it's like, is it just me or am I the only person in this room thought that Charles was a skinny black guy? It was like, you know, it's interesting. A guy who became one of my friends on his podcast, I literally thought he was like this raven haired woman, and he's a redheaded gay guy. And it wasn't Rob Roberts. It was somebody else. But yeah, I was like, but the voice, right? You just go with your take on it. So I could see a particular world where if you did it just right, Kurt, nobody knows who's doing that voice. You would be that urban accent guy because they're listening on an urban radio station, presumably, or somewhere else that's playing just audio. And they're in, and it might sound a little different, but they wouldn't imagine Krampus, you know, reading to them.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. But, you know, I don't think about it too much. I just read what they tell me to read. and if it's what they're going for, great. If it's not, that's all right. Whatever. But there's room for everybody. There really is. Every type of voice. But you have to get the training.
Does ask, why does some people assume intelligence level based on accent? And it is a dumb misconception, but I can say part of that, it's the why do we cut the ham in half to put in the oven story? It's, you know, you trace that story back to mom, to grandma, to great grandma, blah, blah, blah. And you finally trace it back to great, great grandma had a stove that was a quarter the size of the stove today, and the ham wouldn't fit. So she cut it in half, but because that got passed down, we cut our ham in half at Christmas type of deal. There was a time when being able to form coherent sentences and speak well was a sign of affluence and education because nobody cared enough when they're poor to worry about it. You had your own dialect. You had your own, I mean, Creole is French and I don't know what mixed together. Right. And so there was a time, but that was long time ago, hundreds of years ago. And so, yeah, now, I mean, it is somewhat of how much you say versus how you say it and how you carry yourself too. Cause there's, I know a guy, his accent didn't help, but he didn't want no chocolate bread, and that was just the dark loaf bread at like Longhorns. But he was out of it. And like I said, the accent didn't help, but the content was not great either. But Joe, do you have any other questions about Kurt's vocal work?
I was just going to add on to what you were saying. Like, I've got a guy that I work with who has a really thick Southern drawl, you know, good old boy Southern drawl. And he is as smart as can be. He's one of our best database administrators, in my opinion, at our company. But yeah.
Yeah.
I think, for me personally,
I think part of it too is who I grew up with and the natural Southern drawl that they had just locked into you're still a moron because of the things they would say, you know? So I will slip into when I kind of want to do something dumb. And if I want to talk about something maybe a little controversial but take a sting out of it, I'll do my own hit voice. And you know what?
I think I was coming for Kurt.
You know, so and some of it is your own background. I don't know.
Roll that dice.
Yeah, that was a stupid accent. Stay tuned for this commercial break.
Oh, now, Kurt, I will tell you, our commercial breaks have been going swimmingly. Swimmingly.
Patreon.com/wiseandnerdy.
Patreon.com/.
I'm not even letting them pick out music. I'm just going to do it. I'll go with that one. Check out patreon.com/wise_and_nerdy because it has been revamped and it's awesome. And we're looking for some Scotch Coutures to come and have a drink with me. So let's tune out, tune in, and turn up. I don't know. It's all bussing when Kurt's here. No cap. I didn't check the speak pipe, so I should probably go do that, but we'd like to hear from you. wiseandnerdy.com/calldad. We'd love to hear from you. Have your voice on the show. Share your stupid, dumb, bad dad jokes. But, or, you know, say, hey, like Bob Miguel says, roll that dice. So we'd love to, Magoo. It's Magoo, by the way, Joe. Did you know that? It's Magoo. Like, he was literally Mr. Magoo, and I did not make that joke one single time at ChatterCon because I totally missed how he pronounced his name until I was going back to edit the show, which is out now. You can go check it out on our feed of when we were at live at ChatterCon. And I introduced myself, and he introduces himself as Bob Magoo, and I'm like, I could have just railed you on that
Mr.
name.
Mr. Magoo.
Roll dog. What do you love?
What do you love? What do you think about?
Go on, Joe.
What do you think about staycations?
I do love them. Random kid, yes. Can I do a bad accent if I call? Yes, you can. Staycation. Kurt, I'll throw it to you since you just came back from a 4-week vacation.
4 weeks.
What do you think about staycations?
I've never actually had one, but it sounds glorious.
Yeah.
What about it sounds you? Like a lot less work.
Ish. For me, I'll tell my stories, but Joe, what do you got?
There's a lot of times where I feel like I need a little mini staycation after a vacation because getting the kids out and about and driving with them for a day there and back is very, very energy sucking, those energy sucking vampires of kids. Staycations can be very rejuvenating, in my opinion.
It is in the middle ground for me. Because it can be just as hectic as a driving vacation because you're still not away from the family. When I taught school for a living, when I taught EMT school, and they shut down from like the second week of December until the first week in January, and I'm home for 3 weeks, that's a blast. You're sleeping in, Kurt. You're working on projects, doing stuff around the house, watching movies with the kids. And then, so that's not really a staycation, but I loved it. It was amazing. But we did a staycation 1 year where I took off from work for the week, and we got a thing called City Pass, which is still a thing out there. You can find it, and a lot of major cities have it. And it's usually a discounted pass that lets you see the sights. For Atlanta, it includes World of Coke, the aquarium. It used to include CNN Center, but I think CNN has since moved, so that's not really a thing to tour anymore. It had a lot of different things. So we got a couple of city passes, and we did it in the off season. So we got a discount on it. But that one day we just went to the library all day. So you're sleeping in, there's no rush, but you're doing stuff you wouldn't normally do from home, but you can go home and eat and sleep in your own bed. And it is a nice break in between everyday life at home and a huge vacation. However, it does depend on your family. Because I think we did it when we only had 2 kids at the time. And, you know, now with 2 teenagers, one's out of high school, one's about to be out of high school, and 2 kids entering, you know, late middle school into / junior high, is the schedules are not there. So if we do a staycation, we're just not doing anything now. But why you ask, Joe?
I just was wondering what you thought of it.
So I guess the question that I would have then is, like, because I would define a staycation a little bit differently than even what you were talking about, Charles.
Okay.
Literally, for me, a staycation would be I do jack all week long.
That kind of sounds fun, too.
Like, just sleep in, wake up, hang out with my wife.
Yeah.
And do nothing.
It's the best. I've had 1 week of that, and it's like crack. So it worked out miraculously 2 or 3 years ago that all four kids, their camps lined up just right for 1 week. So all four kids were at camp from Sunday to like Thursday or Friday. And so I told work, I'm out. You know, I don't call me, don't bother me. I mean, I'm the boss. They have to sometimes call me. But the idea was, as much as you can, leave me alone. And it was. Aaron and I would stay up as late as we wanted. That was one of the first times I went to a local 7-Eleven. And local, for me, is 2.5 hours away. But Aaron and I, it was literally 7-Eleven. It's July 11th, Joe. Last time that fell on a Sunday, whenever that was. And like, it's 7-Eleven day. And we just got in the car and we drove towards it. We got some food on the road. We just made a thing of it. We ended up going to a nice dinner that week. It's, dude, Kurt, I'm telling you, that is so much fun when you have energy, because, you know, you kind of revert back to your dating days or your early days. And for me, that was over 20 years ago when we got married. Yep. For you, Kurt, it was like a century ago. I don't remember. was, I think it's just slightly more than me, right? I mean, you've been, how long
been with my wife for?
I didn't ask how long you've been with her, because you've been with her since like middle school. I said, how long you've been married?
41 years.
All right.
I've been married since 89, so it'll be 34 years this year.
Wow. All right. But 41 still more impressive.
No, we're in 2024. I'm sorry. 35 years this year.
Look, I mean this. I truly get it. When you've been together with somebody that long, there shouldn't be an offensive nature to forgetting when the actual wedding date anniversary is.
No, I remember the date. It's math is hard.
Yeah, you'll have to add one, Kurt. Just add one, buddy. You'd be all right. But Joe, what could you do to get your kids away from the house for a week so you could have that kind of staycation?
Oh, get away from the kids for a week?
Well, okay, first real question. Couldn't
handle them for a week.
You're thinking small. Think if you're guaranteed success, dude. Don't think literally. All right. But first, have real them question.
Hang out with the Bobcat.
Hey, send them to me for a week. You come back different people.
Very different.
But the real question is, how would Kelsey do? Because Aaron wants to get away, and she loves when we take her little 2-3 day trips. But the longer she's away from the kids, the more she's not wanting to be away from the kids.
Yeah, I don't know if my wife could handle being away for a week from the kids, to be honest.
Amateurs.
Yeah, no, Kurt's like, he's sitting on his high horse up there.
No, Kurt's honestly, like,
send him to boarding school.
I will say, honestly, when the kids were younger, I had a problem with that. But now, great. You know, they'll be there when I get back.
Well, now you're in the grandkid phase.
Right, exactly.
So that your kids have grown up, they've made what I would measure a successful life being that they've been able to be happy, take care of themselves, put food on the table. So that's a different stage of life. Joe's are all preteens. And I mean, my wife still with my 19-year-old, well, he's about to be 19, with Oakland. He's a full-time job. He spends a lot of time over at his girlfriend's family's house. And, you know, but every time he walks indoor, she makes me pause the TV or whatever we're doing. And he's like, hey, and she wants him to come. And there are times when she won't see him for a few days. Now, I'm used to that. I've been the working dad all my life. So I've gone weeks without seeing my kids, living in the same house. But I'm up before them, gone before them, those kind of things. You're working late nights. It's just, like you said, Kurt, and it could be a dad versus a mom thing. I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily just say that, but I can say for myself, it's like, hey, cool, man. How's life? You good? You clean? You got all your body parts? You want some food? All right, cool. You want to play a video game? No. All right, cool. See you next week. But Aaron is very much, we got to have, and so like Joe, we went to Virginia, Aaron and I, for a few days recently. And even then she's calling, checking in with the kids, FaceTiming, those kind of things. And it's fine. She still goes. And it's not a bad thing. But yeah, that week that they were all gone from to camp, she's stalking them on the internet because all the different camps will post pictures to their Facebook page. Or sometimes they have apps. Bunk One is like an app for camps. And you can, and so she's constantly sending notes and looking through every, not just the photos from their group, but every photo to see if they're in the background. So I would spend an hour playing video games while she's stalking the kids. Like, all right, you're done. Cool. Let's do something fun now.
So that's why she really liked Echo, because she had to really look for your kids.
She did. She looked, exactly. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that reminder.
You're welcome. Daddy.
Roll that dice. Bad dad jokes.
Do either of you work at a concession stand?
Why?
Because you two are total snacks.
Yeah.
That's a pervy dad joke. That's not a bad dad joke. That's just bad. That's just bad.
Oh, man.
I thought he was just referring to you as a little Debbie.
Kurt, you're not helping.
Did you see?
Yeah.
That wasn't a bad dad joke. That was a bad daddy joke.
That's like a bad pickup line. Did it hurt? What hurt? When you fell from heaven. Oh, my goodness. So, Joe.
You know what time it is?
It's time for What Are We Nerding Out About?
What are you nerding out about now?
You're right. It is time.
It's time.
Did Kurt, did you put anything in this list?
Of course I did.
No. Do not say of course you did.
I did before you even showed up.
That's a very low bar tonight.
I had almost the entire everything filled out before either of you showed up. Anyway, what I'm nerding out about is I've been watching an anime called Seventh Time Loop. What's the entire thing? It's like Seventh Time Loop, a villainous is... I'm just going to look it up real quick. Seventh Time Loop, the villainous enjoys a carefree life married to her worst enemy. And this one, I think actually Kurt might like, because he was saying
the title. I hate that's the title. But I love time travel.
So. Yeah, well, the time travel is actually a very tiny, tiny, tiny aspect of it. So the main character, it starts off with her dying in like the first few seconds or few minutes, whatever. But she, for whatever reason, every time she dies, she goes back to a very specific part of her life and she tries to do things a little bit differently, trying to avoid her death the next time around. And I think she said,
"Did you already see this movie? Wasn't it called Edge of Tomorrow?"
Yeah, but for hers, she lasts usually, I think she said like 3 or 4 years. Generally, and then this other country tends to start a war, and in one way or another, that war leads to her death. And so this it starts off with her dying and starting her seventh time loop. And in the seventh time loop, the person who had just killed her and was the instigator of the war asks her to marry him. And so Most of it really has nothing to do with the time loop, other than it says, like, oh, I learned these skills during this time loop. I learned these skills during this time loop and things like that. But a lot of it is more of a period drama, where she is trying to figure out how this prince works and figure out how she can avoid her death this go around. So
butterfly effect.
So why do you think Kurt would like this one?
Well, so he was saying, I don't know, it's been forever, what, a month ago?
Right,
that he wanted to try an anime that was more of a drama and wasn't all supernatural and superpowers and stuff like that. And so other than the mild time loopiness, this, I felt, met that criteria.
But and it's on Crunchyroll?
It is on Crunchyroll. I don't know if it's available on the free version of Crunchyroll or not, but it is on Crunchyroll.
Let's side note on Crunchyroll for a second. I watched a TikTok today. Funimation is going away as a website, right?
Yeah, it's getting absorbed into Crunchyroll.
Right. And that's not, I don't know if any of this is a big deal, but I mean, the content's still there. It's just Crunchyroll instead of Crunchyroll and Funimation or whatever. But the person was complaining, like, man, I already subscribed to Hulu and this and that. I don't know how much Crunchyroll is currently, but supposedly it's going up to $100 a year for their anime. And I saw Kurt's eyes get big, but I don't watch that much anime. But if you watch anime, $100 bucks a year for Crunchyroll seems fairly reasonable.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
Well, but it's almost doubling, though. It was $55 a year, and now it's jumping up to $100.
Oh, that seems to be. Right. But also, I would say they're doubling their content, but Funimation is a lot of content.
Now, this isn't obviously all of it.
And didn't you have to pay for both before, Funimation and Crunchyroll?
Yes, but no. Because they actually had a lot of overlap in content where Crunchyroll would have the Japanese with English subtitles and Funimation would have the dubbed, is what happened a lot of time. Not in every case, obviously, but they did have a decent amount of overlap in that regard where they carried the same show, just different versions of the audio, basically. Yeah, that is a pretty steep increase. We talked about streaming services not that long ago, but even like Amazon Prime now has ads. They just started.
Oh, yeah. So my Netflix is through T-Mobile, and I got an email today going, your plan has been changed to standard with commercials. And I'm like, you say? Daddy doesn't do commercials on Netflix. I pay for the HD stuff. Come on now. Killing me. I have to go manage my account because I can bump it up and pay the extra couple bucks. I don't know why it got changed. I'm like, even Hulu without ads has some ads depending on what's going on, but I don't really watch Hulu anymore. But the case is, though, you have to choose, right? And if you really are an anime fan, then let's say you only have $200. I mean, that seems really high, but $200 a month for streaming media, for entertainment, if you will. Well, then that first hundred, well, it's not a month, is it? It's a year. So that first $100 goes to Crunchyroll, and then everything else, you just kind of pick and choose what you want. That is a big, I can see why people would be upset. It's not like a dollar a month jump. That's a large jump. But in the bigger picture, one place that is highly rare, I mean, I know they're niche, and therefore they don't get talked about with the big boys like Disney Plus, but for anime, they are the big boys.
Well, right? The biggest irony when it comes to Crunchyroll is they started off as a pirate site. they started off as a pirated anime website before going legit. And so, yeah, just like Random Kid, they used to sail the high seas.
I have a question about Funimation, though, because I remember in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of stuff that I think, unless I'm mistaken, but was produced by Funimation for the United States.
Yes.
And it was typically Saturday morning cartoon fare. Is that stuff included in the Funimation thing that we're talking about?
I would assume so, but that's I haven't been on Funimation in a while. Funimation, just like Crunchyroll, Funimation has had some free stuff on their website, so you don't have to have a quote unquote premium account. But yeah.
So I've watched the first episode of Percy Jackson and still haven't followed up with the rest, but somebody put the PJ here. It looks like maybe Kurt. Mm-hmm.
It was not me, but I watched the finale as soon as I got back from my vacation and I liked it quite a bit.
They did very well. It started off pretty similar to the source material, but they deviated a fair bit by the end. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. But I keep telling my boys that if they could still read the book and still have a different experience, because it's very different. Both the movie and this both adaptations, the movie and this adaptation are very different, but apparently, Disney has already announced a second season. It's been approved for a season two.
That's no surprise at all.
It was good.
It was good. And I'm not as familiar with the source material, but I don't care. Like, I thought this was way better than the movie. Movies.
There's two movies. Yeah.
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 But they really only did the. Is it three movies?
I'm pretty sure. Now I'm questioning myself.
I thought there was Lightning Thief, and then
It's just the two, Lightning Thief and Sea of Monsters.
Yeah. I don't even know if I've seen Sea of Monsters yet. Now that I'm thinking about it, but season one of Percy Jackson. Did Lightning Thief, and frankly, I loved it way more than the movie.
Yeah, well, what they did, a lot of the alterations that they did were including storylines that will pay off later from future books, is what they did. So, okay.
All right.
Basically, they just brought in the storylines early. So.
I know. So the reason we haven't caught up is there hasn't been a whole lot of nights where Zoe, me, and Aaron are all together, and we started it together, and Zoe wants to watch it. But their comments on the first episode was, "Is this just the movie in TV form?" I'm like, I'm hearing it's really great. I don't know. I mean, we like the movies, but they're a little like, wait, this is the first episode was a lot like the first movie. I mean, there were definitely some changes and some buffers, if you will, some new stuff put on there. But yeah, and I was like, well, we've only watched the first episode. So there's how many episodes? 10-ish?
Yeah, I was thinking 7 or 8.
Pretty sure it was 8, but let's see here.
8. All right. Google says 8.
You can do a lot in 8 episodes. I mean, 8 hours of movie, right? So you can really add a lot more. So I hope that as it goes on in the episodes, it does deviate more from the movie. And we didn't not like the movie, but if I'm going to watch something, I would like it to add or change something. It'd be terrific.
I just cared way more about the characters, you know? They had some great casting too. You know, Zeus was awesome.
Unfortunately, Zeus, that actor, has passed away.
Right. So,
but he's Broyles from Fringe. Charles, I know you've seen Fringe.
Yep, but I don't remember who Broyles is.
The head dude.
Yeah, Broyles was the head guy in charge of the Fringe department. The black guy.
Yeah.
Yep. So, super good actor.
Yeah.
And then they had Edge being Ares, which
like you choose Edge?
No, like the wrestler Edge.
Oh.
He was great.
He was great in the '90s. Okay, cool.
No, he's great in this. Okay. Like for this kind of a role, he's perfect for it. So
all right. I'll check it out. That'd be interesting. What's this next? I guess this next one is Kurt.
Yeah, he's nerding out about butter.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. I seriously, from what I glanced at, I said buffer. I'm like, yeah, he old man Kurt's selling that 14.4 baud modem, man. He loves that buffers.
It is buffer. And
dang it, Joe. And you ruined my joke. Don't make me think I misread it.
Now, just because you can't see those little letters, it's all good. Buffer is a program that will allow you to schedule and post to multiple social media sites at the same time.
Okay.
Using the same source. And it allows you to pre-populate all your hashtags and everything. And because I'm trying to streamline what I do on TikTok, IG, and YouTube, you can do for free 3 accounts. And I produce the video, throw it up on the schedule and say, I want this published at 9 a.m. and it will just do it.
Even and, Instagram, it doesn't make you do some special login and.
Well, the setup is a little weird.
Well, okay. No, in the past, I could schedule things for Instagram, but it'd send me a reminder because then I would have to log into Instagram. It was some weird clunky thing. It wasn't just, all right, do it. And then it's all set on Instagram, even with the setup.
Yeah. You set up the connections ahead of time and you verify them and everything. And then once you do, like literally I posted a video last night and I said, okay, I didn't even produce the video. Really? I just had it. And I said, I want to publish this at 9 a.m. this morning. And sure enough, they all went out. No problem. And so, it's going to make my life a lot easier. And if the podcast wants to do clips and we wanted to publish to multiple social media at the same time to have those clips, 3 accounts that you can connect for free.
Nice.
So something worth thinking about. So far, the early results are really good, and you can see analytics to a certain extent on it without paying for any kind of a premium thing. So it's pretty nice.
That is pretty cool. I've been hearing about Buffer. I know there's Hootsuite. There's all kind of ones out there.
Oh, Hootsuite. I checked into first. It's expensive.
Yeah. I don't like Hootsuite. Not just for the cost, but I just didn't like any of the interfaces, any of that stuff. I use one that's not around anymore because it's been bought by somebody else. I can't remember what it's called right now. PostFitty, PostFitty. It was out of England, and I got a hold of them when they first were on the come up. And that's what we were using for Giant Size, Team Up as a company. And they polished and did and moved, and then somebody bought them out. And it's Simply or something like that now. Mm. Does it cost TreeFitty? That would be funny. It is, but you still have to, have time to do the work.
But this way though, you can set up templates way easier too.
Good.
So, frankly, I'm using CapCut for simple stuff.
That's one of my favorite editors right now.
On the desktop, because they have a Windows client. So I'd use CapCut there and I throw it into Buffer and it just publishes.
Nice. So I haven't heard of CapCut. What is CapCut?
That's one by ByteDance, TikTok. Basically,
all the kids are using it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and this is one of the ones I say. No, I used it long before the kids used it. Because I discovered it when TikTok first came around. Because it is whatever. But I got it on my phone, and it is great, Joe. It's got templates, and you can do all the fancy crap, and you can do photos, whatever. But I use it to do my videos for TikTok. I record on my phone, then I import it into CapCut. It'll do captions really well, and it'll let you cut on your phone. And I haven't used it on the desktop, but I imagine it's really nice and easy. And it does that vertical, right? That's vertical. Yeah, vertical. Yep. Format. Field goal? I didn't know. I went... Well, one, what kind of Alabama butter eating loving fool are you doing a field goal like this, man? That's a soccer goal upside down, dummy. Field goals are like this. So, no, not a field goal, vertical video. And that's something, Kurt, we're looking at using Opus clips that will do AI that will try to clip out the best moments of the show and make it that vertical video and switch back and forth. I played with it last week because you get 60 minutes free a month. And okay. So I cut our show down to 60 minutes, an hour and a half. Cut it down to 60 minutes, popped that in, and it pulled out some okay clips. I wasn't super thrilled because it pulled out the same, a bunch of versions of the same clip. So it was a good clip that was right at a minute. They're like, cool, that's the highest rated clip on Opus. You know, they give it a rating of how well it do. Took it, downloaded it, put it on our TikTok channel, Wise and Nerdy, which we need to get linked into our link tree. I don't think it's on our link tree. And then I was like, okay, what's going to be the next one I post? And it was shorter or longer versions of that same clip. Or it was like the intro of the show where we're playing the music. It was like, Opus clips, you didn't do me right this time. You didn't really dig in and find that those moments for me. So, but it's AI, it's learning.
Maybe in the future you should get rid of it because you said you had to trim it anyway, right?
Well, because it's an hour and a half and I only had 60 free minutes. So I had to just shrink it down to. So maybe I should have shrunk it from the front end instead of the back end.
Or a little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Nope. Just letting you hang out on the podcast.
Charles.exe has stopped working.
Now just watching you do the slow clap in the wrongest way possible. But what I am nerding out about is people who care. And Tyra Burton cares a lot about a lot of people, but she has really helped me out a ton. We are just relaunching the Dragon Con content. We started last night. Both of you guys came out and were playing with us and had a nice turnout last night, and it was really fun. And it's, you know, right now we're still working on a title because this just doesn't land right. But right now it's called Community Night with the Track. And last night was me and Tyra just trying to keep me in line and me just kind of going all over the place and talking about panels and whatever else. But
wants a jersey.
She wants a jersey. She's going to have to earn it. It's a lot of money. But it was good. It was good times. And we're going to be doing some podcast practice. Like she and I want to maybe develop a show. So we're going to use that to play with. You know, hopefully Joe, Kurt, you guys will come play with stuff and do takeovers or talks with Tyra. Those kind of things. Game night, we're going to do Fandom Face-Off next week. And I hope you guys come out. It's Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. Right now, it's on twitch.tv/DC Digital Media. But we are in talks to moving that to a network-friendly channel that would help us get a little bit more exposure there just to keep things going for the con all year round. Now, today, I got to go lecture with her at Kennesaw State. She is an actual professor of social media at Kennesaw State University, and she has me in once a quarter to talk podcasting or storytelling, depending on the class. She teaches multiple classes, so depending on which class it was. Today was advanced marketing, and that class has to make a podcast. So I came in today. And of course, we pull up all the stuff. You know, Wise and Nerdy is up there to show, you know, how we did logos and different things, how we record, what the chaos is there, how we use AI in what we do. Finding the stories is up there, a bunch of different things. And she pulled up my website, which has, you know, the three different pictures of my history. It's using your skills behind the soundboard when I'm working a bluegrass festival. The next picture is me talking with Sean Young at Atlanta Comic Con. So I got, you know, tell a story about how I talked my way into interviewing celebrities because I had a passion for it. And the last one's at this very high-end booth at some podcast conference I was at that has a very expensive microphone and sound booth and all that. And that one's there because one, it's a cool picture of me in an obvious professional setting. But the second cool thing is, like, yeah, that's proof that you don't need thousands of dollars of equipment, because that was thousands of dollars of equipment. Didn't really sound much different than my hundreds of dollars of equipment at home. So that's why they're up there. And yes, Random Kid, I did teach them how to rock a podcast. Yeah. but as we're going through and talking about things, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to Atlanta Comic Con and I'm going to be moderating people and doing different things. And she's like, yeah, that's tomorrow. I went, no, it's next week. You know, because I'm moderating, I've got and they haven't said I can release the schedule, so I guess I have to go moderate and then tell you who I got to moderate, which is going to be awesome. But I've got four moderation panels to do with celebrities, and then I'm going to do Fandom Face-Off, and I need to make sure my laptop and my projector are syncing up correctly to do the game show properly. And she looked at me like I was crazy, like, no, it's tomorrow. I'm like, no, I've like triple checked my calendar It's next week. So she goes right in front of the class and everything. Pulls up Atlanta Comic Con. 23 hours to go before the con kicks off. I'm like, this is why I love people who care. Because Tyra was not only doing her job of helping me help her and do, you know, teach students, and she is my manager, but she was like, yeah, no, you better get your butt in gear. So I only have one panel tomorrow that I need to research tonight. And I do have to go play with my projector and laptop to make sure I get this game show ready. So boys and girls, it is time to go home. I will see you at Atlanta Comic Con this weekend.
Follow these nerdy dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasting. Joe at Joseph _ Ard. Check out the website, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
No, check out VL Backcourt. But oh my God, I messed it up. KO by Vert.